Don't you like that? But do you like butterflies? I really do. There was I forgot where it was. I don't know whether it was Atlanta or Huntsville or Memphis. They have a place that you go in and all they've got are just butterflies everywhere. And you can go in and they'll just light on you. I don't remember seeing as many butterflies today as I used to. I don't know why that is, but I just don't see as many. Maybe I'm not looking, or maybe my eyes are not well enough to where I can see them. But how beautiful the colors are on them. How beautiful they are. But how do they start out? A little worm. And they just, honestly, they're ugly. Isn't that right? Do y'all like worms? Y'all are not saying anything and acting anything. I think they're ugly looking. But boy, when they go through their change, a metamorphosis, they change and they become a beautiful butterfly. And how wonderful it is that we've got a part of it. So what we're going to talk about today in Romans 12, if you want to turn there, and we'll be looking at that passage generally most of the day, today and tonight, if Lord willing. But we're going to talk about conformity this morning and what that is. Most of us know what conformity is. It's becoming like the things around you. If you take some ice and you put it, say, on the Lord's table up here, and you let it set in this room in just the normal temperature, that ice will start melting because the ice is going to conform to the temperature around it. Now, if you put it in a refrigerator where it's cold, it'll maintain its form. But if you put it out here in just the regular world, it's going to be different. It's going to change. It's going to conform back into that liquid that it was, not into the solid that it was at one time, but back into the liquid that it was in the beginning. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about people conforming, people changing. Now look at this. Here's some definitions that I want us to see. A definition: conform to other patterns. That's what conformity is. And then also we see that the definition helps us to understand that it is a desire to be another, to be like another. Well, and I was thinking about this, and I got tickled. You know, in the 60s, and some of you lived that long, some of you don't know anything about that, but a lot of the young people at that time were trying to be different. But did you notice everyone that was different looked the same? They were different, but they all looked like, I guess they were different than some of us that, you know, didn't grow long hair and didn't have earrings. Nothing wrong with that. All those things. I wear the bright colors. I like the bright colors. But, you know, that wasn't a nonconformist way when you're just like all those other people that are there. And that's part of what conforming is being like the others, just blending in. And you say, well, that doesn't sound that bad. Well, in one sense, it may not be. It's according to who you're around. It's according to what person you're with. It's according to what they believe and what they teach and how they live their lives. It can be a different thing for you, and it can be a thing that can help you to become in trouble, get in trouble if you're not careful. We need to be those people that we don't need to be conformist to the world. And that's what Paul, the writer of Romans, I think he's talking about here, that we don't need to be those that are conforming to what the world standards are, but we need to be transforming. And so we've got to make a decision. Do we want to be a conformist or a transformist? Do we want to conform to the way the world is living, the way the world sets their standard, the way the world makes their decisions, or do we want to be according to the standard that is set by God? Do we want to stay around Jesus Christ? Now, some people say, well, you know, do I have to come to every worship service? Do I have to be around people all the time? Let me tell you something. It helps me to be a Christian, to be around other Christians. It helps me to be a Christian when I've got to stand up for what's right and I've got other people standing with me. I like that. Do you like to stand alone? Do you like to be the only one that says this is wrong and I can't be a part of that? I don't think there's many of us that do. In fact, if you like to do that, there's something wrong with you, okay? I don't want to just go against everybody. I want to try to have peace. I want to try to have a calmness where I am at all times. I don't want to have to make those hard decisions where I have to decide if I'm going to have to say, no, I can't do that. That's not an easy thing to do. And it doesn't get any easier the older you get. Now, we've got to understand that there's difficulties there. There's problems that we have to deal with in that. Turn this mic off, if you would, please, Linda. Okay. Look at this. There is pressure to conform. There is pressure to conform in this world. Now, usually when we talk about pressure to conform, we talk about young people and all the pressures that they have. Oh, they're riding a car with people that drink, so they're going to drink. They're taking, somebody's taking pills and they're associating with them. They're going to take pills. That's a problem, okay? Young people have a problem of conforming to those that they're around. Why? Because they want to be accepted by those people. And so you'll do things, even though you know that those things are wrong that you're doing, to be accepted by people. And so as parents, we try to teach our children, don't be like everybody else. And you, I guess you've heard the old adage, you know, if everybody else jumped off the side of a mountain, would you jump off the side of a mountain? Well, sometimes we do jump off the side of a mountain, doing things that we know that are wrong, know that we shouldn't do, but because we're with other people, young people do that. But listen, don't just think it's just the young people. Don't just think it's those people that are young. It's all of us. Now, maybe, I don't know about you on your job, where you work, or maybe some of the people you have. It's not easy sometimes to say, no, I can't do that, even though you're an adult. Because you don't want to just be different than everybody else. You don't want to be somebody that just stands out. You know, as far as religion is concerned, oh, you're just a religious goody-two-shoes. No, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. I'm trying to set the right example. I'm trying to be the right kind of person. So not only do we have children that do that, we have adults that have to deal with that too. They have to deal with the pressure. And the pressure is there for everybody. The pressure is there for every person to have to deal with that. And we've got to learn how to handle that. And what we've got to do is to make up our minds before we get in those situations. In fact, isn't that what we did when we became a Christian? We said we were going to die to the world, to the things of the world, and we were going to be alive to the things of God. Don't you know that you that are baptized, you are dead to the world? Isn't that Romans 6 chapter? You're dead to the world. So you're not supposed to participate in that any longer. Now, in that, it's not saying you're not supposed to participate in the things of the world. We live in this world. We're going to participate in some of those things. But not in things that are wrong. That's what the writer's trying to get us to understand. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not change yourself to make the pattern of the world look good and you be a part of it. Now, it's easy to do that. The pressure is on every one of us to be able to do that. What we have to do is to realize we can't allow that. That cannot be a part of our lives. So we're not going to let that be a part of us. Now, look at this. There's a danger of conformity. Some conformity is all right. We need to get along with other people. We need to agree with other people. But conformity carried to the extreme. Have you ever noticed that Christianity is not one end or the other, but it's usually right down the middle? Can we conform? Yes. Can we conform to some of the things of this world? Yes. Can we not conform to some of the things of this world? That's exactly right too. Now that may sound confusing to some people, but it's just understanding what we're trying to do here. There's some things we can be like the world in, but there's some things we can't, and there's the dangers that are there. It can lead us to do things that are wrong, even though we know that they're wrong when we're doing them. Now, I don't know about you. I can still remember when I was younger and some of the things I did because of who I was associating with. And see, for those that are young, you need to be careful about who you associate with. I don't know at the time that parents have come and they said, how do you get your children to get a new set of friends? How do you do that? Because they were worried about the friends that their children had. They were worried about what they were going to get them into. And please understand, if you associate with people that are in trouble all the time, you're going to get in trouble. There's no way around it. You know, even in our legal system helps us to understand that. If you're in a car with people that commit a crime, maybe they commit a murder, maybe they commit a robbery, and you're in the car with them, do you know that you're responsible for that? And that you can go to jail for that? And young people don't think about that. What we've got to do is try to help them to see that. But we've got to help ourselves to see also that we need to be those people that we're going to conform to some of the things of this world that are good, that are right, but some of the things we can't because they're wrong. We can't. I mean, you go to a party when you're working for a company and maybe they have some little white dust there. And it's all in a line and you just kind of blow that stuff up your nose. And we're nobody ever does that. Nobody in the church does that. Oh, yes, we do. People are involved in that. People get in trouble with that. And so we can't conform to that. We can't be a party to that. But now to say, no, I'm not going to do that, and feel the pressure that's there. Do you remember feeling that pressure? Do you remember the pressure that you have to do that which is wrong when you know it's wrong, but you feel like, well, I need to do this to kind of get along with everybody? It's not worth it. Give that up. Don't do that. Don't let that be a part. Don't be transformed that way. Don't be conformed into that kind of person. But be a person that you recognize you need to stay away from that, and that's not a part of what you need to have. And so we have to guard ourselves. We have to be careful that we don't allow that. And we've got to be willing to separate ourselves. In 1 John, the second chapter, listen to what John says here. In 1 John 2 and verse 15, do not love the world. Don't conform to the standard that the world has, is what John's saying here. Don't let the world be the standard that you have. The things in the world, love the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, he's not talking here about the things of the world that are good. You know, you go out and see trees and you see what's going on. There's some good things in this world. It's not all bad. It's not all terrible. God created it. He created it for us to have, for us to see. He wants us to see that and understand that. There's a lot of things in this world that are good, but also there's some things in this world that are not good. And he said, if you love the world so much that you're going to say, I'm going to do what the world wants me to do, I'm going to live by their standards, then you don't love God. Because you see, if you love God, you're going to follow what God says. You're going to listen to the Word of God and what He says there. Listen to this, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. These things here, the things that sometimes lead us away from God. We have these things that we have to understand that we can't be participating in. We can't do that. And, you know, it's just like here we got the lust of the flesh. And really that's just the immorality of the flesh. And he's talking about that. God has a way for us to use our sexual urges. He's got a way that he says that's wrong to do that. You shouldn't do that. What we have to do is to find out what his standard is. What he's trying to say for us. Because what he's going to do is going to be the best for us. The way he's leading us is the best way to go. You see, he's the creator. The creator knows his creation. He knows what they need. He knows the things that are beneficial to them. And so he's going to tell us to do those things and lead us to do those things that are going to be the best for us. And it's going to be the best for us. But not only that, he talked about the lust of the eye. That's the idea of the carnal thing of looking at things and seeing things and seeing them in the wrong way. Maybe seeing them in the way that they're so tempting, they look so good. And we know that Eve, in the beginning, that's one of the things she had to deal with, was that immorality that was there. You say, what immorality? She didn't commit anything sexual. No, she didn't. But the immorality was that of not doing God's will. That's what immorality really is not following the standard that God has set up. Not following the standard of materialism, thinking about this world and the things of this world. We're not going to do that. But we've got to be those people that we're going to not just look at this life, and this life is more important than anything else. The pride of life. Some people will give up everything they have for life. They'll give up everything they have for life in this world, for the things of this world. Sometimes we've got to sacrifice those things. We've got to give up those things. And you see, this life and this body and what we have here is given to us by God. We're to take care of it and present it back to God one day. And not just this body, but the soul, the spirit within inside of us. That soul that's there, that God has given to every person. Now, the body, again, it's going to be put away, but we need to take care of it as long as we can so that we can show people the right way to go. You know, one good thing about getting old, you can show people the example of a godly life. Isn't that a great thing? Amen. To show people that you can live according to God's standard and being an old person. Somebody says, well, yeah, they're old. They can't do anything. Oh, yes, they can. Don't sell old people short. They got a lot of power. I've seen them when they're little bitty women, short, I've seen them take a 250-pound man and tell him exactly what to do, and he did it. He knew he better do it. That's power. That's strength. And he didn't do it because she forced him to do it. He did it because he knew that's my mama, and I got to do what she wants me to do. I've got to follow that standard. And so here, we're going to be willing to do that. We're going to have to be willing to do that. Now, look at this. How do we deal with the pressure to conform? How do you handle that? And please understand, I understand that there is pressure to conform to the standard of the world. And if you don't see that, you look around even in our society today, the standard to conform, to be like everybody else, that's not the way we need to be. That's not the way we need to live our lives. We've got to be those people that stand out. We show ourselves. The Bible talks about a Christian as they are a light that shines into the world to help people see the right way to go. The illustration in the Bible of sin being that which is dark and that which is good, Jesus Christ, His way, His life, as being light in the world. Jesus sent us out as lights in the world to show. Now, please, don't just be bright here, but be bright when you go out of here. Show people the kind of standard that you have, the kind that you have, the kind that you are. Now, conformity. We've got to recognize that we can't have that as far as conforming to the world, that we can't let that be a part of us. We need to be those people that undergo a change. That's what Jesus Christ talked about. In Romans, he talked about that. In other parts of the book of Romans, where he talked about do not, you know, be that person that you're going to be a baptized person. You're going to be a person that's going to live right according to the standard that God has set forth. Because you are a child of God. And in Romans there, in Romans 6, it talks like, how could you even think about doing that? Because you're a person that you've died to sin. Sin's not a part of your life anymore. And so you're not going to do that. Now, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about the fellas that guard our president that are in trouble right now because of going to Colombia and hiring prostitutes and having a big party and all that, when there's supposed to be people down there that are good people that are looking out for what's good and for what's right. And so here's a Secret Service that made some mistakes. What if you were one of those Secret Service people? Linda and I know a fellow that he works for the Secret Service, guarded the president before. But if you're one that you're going to try to live the Christian life and you're there and everybody else is going in with the prostitutes, they're going in to have the party, they're having the good old times and doing all that, what would you say? You'd say, well, you know, you're sitting in the church, but, oh, I'd tell them I wouldn't do it. Well, there'd be pressure on you to be more like the rest of the old boys that are there. And you'd feel that pressure. And it would be very strong. And I understand it would be difficult to say, no, I'm not doing that. And you're not going to do that either because it's wrong. And if you do that, then I've got to say something about it because that's not as it should be. What if you were the person that had to say they did this or they did that? What if you had to do that? Would you be willing to do that? Or would you be like some people that say, well, I didn't do it, but I'm not saying anything about it? Well, listen, if we're going to live that way, what we're doing is just giving them encouragement to live the way they want to. What if people knew about you that you were always going to tell the truth? That you were going to stand up for what's right and do what's right? Do you think they would do some of the things they do around you? And sometimes I've jokingly with people said, tell me that again. I need to write that down where I can go talk to those people about that. I need to let people know about that. Being a person who is not going to conform to the way of the world is not always an easy thing to do. And I understand that. But because it's not easy does not mean that we're not to do it. We're to be those people that we stand up for what's right and we do what is right, not just in the church building. It's easy to be here in the church building right now and say, you know, this is wrong or that's wrong. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. It's easy to do that right now because we've got all this encouragement to do those things that are good and right. But what about when we leave this building? Do we still have that strength and that power? We should. We should still feel God is with us. And we're with God. And so I'm going to live right and I'm going to do what's right because that's the standard that God has set forth for me to do. And so I'm going to be the right kind of person. And then it talks about the idea of one that is transformed, one that is a different person. And so we've got to be those people that we're different than the world. We're changed people. We live a different way. We have a different standard to go by because we've got the standard of God's Word. That means that we need to know what God's Word says. We need to study the Word of God. Brethren, it's not just reading the Bible. It's finding out what it has to say and living according to its principles. That's what transforms us when we take our life and we make our life what this book has to say. And we're really people that are different. We become experienced in being a transformed person, being a person that's going to be there. That's what it's talking about when it talks about the conversion. Listen to what Paul told Titus in Titus 3 and verse 5. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done. It's not just because we're doing what's good, but listen to this. But according to him, the mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're those people that are cleansed by God. We go into baptism and we're baptized into this water and we're made those people that are clean according to God. And so we're going out to show the world what cleanliness really looks like. We're going to show the world what is good and what is right. We're going to show the world when the world says this is something we're going to do and we have to say we're not going to do it. It's easy to conform to the world. It's real easy because a lot of people are doing it. We mentioned this morning about hypocrites within the church. And they are, you know. People come in, sit in here on Sunday and sing all the songs, do all the things, participate in all the things of worship. That's great. That's wonderful. But let me tell you something. Our worship to God and our service to God doesn't just end there. It's more than that. It's living it every day. That's what it's got to be. And you're showing other people what Christianity is really all about. You're helping them to see that and to know what it is and to understand. Linda's not up here this morning. Tell me what time it is. So I got to look at my watch. Y'all can look at yours too. We got to change. We got to be those people that we're going to be different and we're going to live different. Why? Because we've been washed. We've been cleansed. We've been made holy before God. And we're to be those people that we're going to serve God and we're going to do the will of God. That's what God wants us to do. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be a part of that. Now, turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. And listen to what he has to say here. Listen to how he helps us to understand some of the things that we need to be. Therefore, because of what he said before this, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. Well, now, why would a person want to give up? Because of the push and the influence of others on them. Because of the difficulties that they have to, because of the decisions they've got to make. I can't do this. I can't do that. I've got to live this way. I've got to do this. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man, the outside of us, is perishing, it's dying, it's getting older. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. You say, now, what's that got to do with being transformed? Let me tell you something. This old body is going to decay. The things that the world wants us to do that are wrong, that's going to cease one of these days. What are we going to do then? How are we going to handle it then? We've got to have a heart that's being renewed day by day. We've got to have a soul that's becoming better and stronger every day. And let me tell you something. The only way to do that is taking God's Word and putting it into your life and living it out every day. Coming to church is not going to do it totally. That's a part of it. But that's not all of it. That's not all of it. And so we've got to be those people that we're going to change from the inside. That's what the transformation, that's where it needs to be. You see, sometimes we want to change the outside. We want to just people not to do those things while they're at church and while they're in front of us. But let me tell you something. If you're by yourself, you still need to be a transformed person. You still need to be a changed person. You still need to recognize that you're before God. And that God wants you to live right. And He'll help you every way He can so you can live right. He wants you to do that. He wants you to live that way. We've got to be willing to do that. We feel the pressure sometimes, and the pressure is great sometimes, but what we've got to do is to be able to overcome it. We've got to be able to overcome that and understand that that's not going to be a part of the way we're going to live our lives, that we're going to be the right kind of standard. Not that we're trying to be a goody two-shoes or you know, show anything to people. What we're trying to do, this is the way we live. This is the way our life is. And you see, when we get to that point to where this is the way our life is, the decision is a whole lot easier to say no. The decision not to conform is so much easier when we're able to do that. Listen to this. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Look at the love that God's given us. He said, Charles, listen. You can be a part of me. I will allow you to be my child. Just think about how much he cared for us and how much he wants to do that for us. To give us every wonderful blessing and every great thing. But just think also what we do when we as Christians don't live that way before other people. We don't show them the right way. What do we do for the love of God? We turn our backs on it and turn away from it. Love God. Do the will of God. That's what John is trying to say here. Therefore, the world does not know you. It doesn't know us because we know Him. Because we know Jesus Christ, we're going to live a different kind of life. We're going to be a child of God. And we're going to live that before other people. Let me tell you something. When you got to make those decisions to either conform or to transform, it makes it so much easier if you've made up your mind before you get there. It's so much easier. I'm going to do God's will no matter what. Well, if you do that, you're going to have to suffer. Yeah, that's a part of it. Jesus Christ did. He came and he didn't harm a person. He didn't hurt a person. He helped everybody, did what he could for everybody, tried to be as kind to everybody as he could. He told the truth. Would you like to live in a world where you are, where the truth is always told? Some days, no. But isn't that what we need to do? Not only do we need to tell the truth, we need to live the truth. We can't be conformed to the world. We've got a desire to be willing to follow God and do His will. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If you do, the love of the Father is not in you. If you want to be conformed to the world, please understand, you're saying to God, I don't love you. You're saying to the world, I want you to follow a different way. But it's not God's way. Stand up for your Christianity. Stand up and be a child of God. Do what's right. It's not easy, but do it. Make up your mind today to serve God, to do the will of God, to follow what God wants you to do. And I look at this. We've got to understand. Did I turn that thing? Transform? Yeah. That's what I wanted right there. How do we do this? How in the world can we deal with the pressure to conform? What we got to do is understand we've got to be a leader. You say, wait a minute, I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to lead. Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you're a leader. You're to show people what's right. You're to help people to see the right way. Now, not everybody's going to appreciate that, but I guarantee you there's a lot of people that will. And by you being a leader and you standing up for what's right, you encourage other people to do that. You encourage other people to speak up and stand up and do what's good and what's right. And you're the example to show them. You're the right way to show them the right way to go. You lead them. You prove what is good. You prove to others it can be done. You see, some people, if you tell them, I want you to stand up for what's right and stand up for what's good, they say, oh, you can't do that in the world today. Watch me. Watch me as I do that. Watch me as I'm going to try to be the standard. Well, you say, well, you're going to fail sometimes. Yes, you are. What do you do then? You get up and you go on. You straighten it out and you do the best you can. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. We understand that. We've already read a passage a while ago where it talked about the salvation that we have is that salvation is given to us. The grace that we have is given to us. Knowing what God's will is given to us, and even the help to do God's will is given to us. We've got to decide if we want to follow it. We've got to decide if we want to be a part of it. There, example after example in the Bible of people who stood up for what's right. And the greatest of all is Jesus Christ. He stood up for what is good and what is right to give us an example as to the way we need to go. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Paul said in Romans 12 there, by the renewing of your mind, by changing your mind. That's what we're going to look at tonight, being that transformed person and looking at that. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what struggles you're fighting with. I don't know what demons you've got to deal with in your life. It's a hard thing to deal with some of these things that we have to deal with in our life. But let me tell you something. There are Christians that want to help you. They'll pray with you and for you, and they'll stand beside you. And God is always there. Now, listen to this. God never leaves you. You say, sometimes I wonder where he's at. Look where you're walking. God doesn't leave you. We leave God. God stays there. God is in one place. God is always there. But if we walk away from him, please don't blame God for that. We do that. I'll be with you is a promise that was made to us. Jesus Christ made that. God made that. He was always with the children of Israel, an example to show us that he's always with us. He was there. You say, well, I don't know where he's at. Well, listen, find out from his book. Read it. And you'll know where he's at. He's in your heart. And he's in your life. He's in the way you live. And the way you serve God. Don't be conformed to the world. But if you are, now's the time to change. Please repent of sins. Please turn from those things. And if you need to do it publicly, then do that. If you need to do it privately, get it out of the way. Brother, we're not here to try to show off anything. What we're trying to do here is just be honest about this thing and help people to go to heaven.